allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Good job.
Oh, yeah.
We got water bottles for you.
Okay, thank you. That will make it easier. Okay.
Mr. Morris, great job, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Did you give him a water bottle?
No, we didn't get one.
I'll get him later.
Okay, before we move on with our meeting, we would like to have a moment of silence. I know most of you are aware of the six individuals from the Tuskegee Valley School District who lost their lives last Tuesday in a bus accident. Thank you. Thank you. And just so that everyone's aware, there is a GoFundMe account set up. It's under Tuskegee Valley Band. The fundraiser is to pay for memorial expenses, long-term care, scholarship fund. There's a mental health aspect to it, medical costs, and equipment, because the band lost all of their instruments on the bus as well. So there's also a fund set up at First Federal Community Bank. I'm not sure if there's any of those around here, but the GoFundMe account would be easy to access. So thank you. Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Present.
Mr. Birch?
Present.
Mrs. Statz?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Okay. Under item two, board report, this is the time during our board meeting where we update the community with what's going on with all of our buildings. So I'm going to start with the preschool. From Mr. Morris, we would like to thank all of the parent volunteers that participated and helped with the fall book fair last week. We would also like to thank Officer Bauer and Officer Connor for their visit to the AM and PM preschool classes this month. The preschool students enjoyed checking out the police cruisers. Future dates that are important and coming up in the preschool are December 13th, which is their winter holiday shop, and December 21st, the preschool and kindergarten winter classroom parties.
All right, and I will read off our NES news. NES would like to thank the veterans and families that attended our Veterans Day Assembly on November 9th. Students presented letters and poems to 80 veterans and sang patriotic songs. NES teachers continue to build confidence with the newly adopted ELA curriculum. Open Court is used in grade K through 3, and Wanders is used in grades 4 through 5. Teachers are beginning to see gains in the students' ability to read, and note that the curriculum is significantly more rigorous than our prior curriculum, but students are responding positively. The NES canned food drive will run from November 28th through December 8th. And the NES Panthers Closet is now open and staffed every Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Teachers can send students down to the closet to shop during this time, or parents can reach out to the office anytime for support. Moving on to the middle school, Norton Middle School's eighth graders traveled to Washington, D.C. November 1st through the 3rd. Students had the opportunity to explore many historical sites, museums, and memorials. Thank you to our students and chaperones for representing Norton with pride in our nation's capital. Seventh and eighth graders enjoyed seeing the high school's fall play on November 3rd. The annual turkey trot was held on November 16th. Students raced on a 1 mile course. Winners brought a turkey home to share with their families. Norton Middle School teachers would like to thank our Teacher Academy students from Four Cities Compact for their work with our students over the first quarter. Middle school students benefit from these positive role models in our classrooms every week.
And lastly, from the high school, the speech and debate team led by Mrs. Pletcher earned the leading chapter award in the Eastern Ohio District for 2023. This coveted honor is the highest recognition a school can receive from the National Speech and Debate Association, and Norton High School was one of only 108 schools nationwide to receive this honor. So hats off to them. On November 9th, we took all NHS sophomores to Barberton High School for the Four Cities Compact Showcase, where they could see firsthand all of the available programs they could pursue next year. They will also have the ability to visit programs at NHS, and other schools in the coming weeks to further aid their decisions. All sophomores can apply now for compact programs. On December 6th at 6 p.m. in the auditorium will be our annual mandatory parent meeting for any student who attends to participate in College Credit Plus next year. NHS had an amazing fall sports season, and some of the highlights are as follows. Boys soccer won the MAC championship and advanced several rounds into the playoffs. Junior Katarina Jovanovic.
That's good.
Thank you. Won MAC Tennis Player of the Year to go along with their team championship. The football team won a MAC championship and finished our first ever 10-0 regular season. And finally, Ryan Erler advanced to the Division II state cross-country meet where he finished 32nd. And I know he wasn't feeling well when he was running, so that's amazing. He also set a new school record of 16 minutes 11 seconds earlier in the season. Again, Norton Aid, the canned food drive, is going to start after Thanksgiving break. And then finally, Panther's Closet is having an open house at the high school on Wednesday, December 6th from 3 to 4:30 in room 117. If you can't make it then and students need clothing, winter coats, anything like that, please reach out to Tracy Kolecki at the high school. And then finally, I know a lot of you leave after the break, so on behalf of the Board of Education, we want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Yes. On to item 3, Treasurer Report.
As some of you have heard before, and I apologize for all of those who have been through this many times before, the district, or all school districts in Ohio, have to file a 5-year forecast, which is an estimate of what our revenues and our expenditures are going to be for the next 5 years in the district. This is done in November and then again in May. And just a quick thing that I always like to say is, you hear about the state making their budgets in June for beginning their year in July, and they're doing a 2-year budget for money that they give to the school district, but I have to do a 5-year forecast that goes out 5 years on information that I have for 2 years from the state. So it's best estimates and best guesses that we have at the time that this moves forward. It's subject to change as we go, and we just try to do the best that we can as we move forward through it. Beginning this year, our beginning balance, we had $4,401,000. I apologize, you can't see those. They just looked great on my screen. So the blue line, $4,401,960 is where we began the year with. Our estimated ending balance at the end of this year, $5,442,726. We're estimating revenues $26,873,136. Estimated expenditures $25,832,370. You kindergartners, these are numbers you don't even know what they are. So for the entire year, we're looking at gaining $1,040,766. There we go. Our revenues for the year, as I said, $26,800,000. Those come from three main categories. Local taxes, which comprises 43% of our revenues, $11,484,000. Of that, $8,100,000 of that comes from property taxes. That's both residential, commercial taxes, so businesses in the district, and those of you that own homes. Included with that is new construction. Everybody sees the golf course. We talk about all the houses that are going in on the golf course. We're estimating that at about $5 million a year, which seems like a lot of money, but for every $1 million in new construction, it only brings the district $20,000 a year. $20,000, we're going to turn it away, but it's not as much as it sounds. And also, I don't know if any of you heard, I know the board, we've talked about this, there's legislation currently, because everybody knows their property taxes went through the roof. The school district doesn't necessarily get all of that money. It's school math, as one way to talk about it. I would love to go into those explanations, but I won't do it here. If anybody wants those further, we'd love to sit down and talk to you about those. But anyways, there's legislation about the way the property taxes, because they ballooned up, they want to level those out moving forward if they can. If they would do that, it would take that increase and then do it over small increments over 3 years. So it wouldn't be as drastic of an increase to the property owners. That's still in legislation. It's passed the Senate and it's in the House right now. If that passes, we may have to do a new forecast, possibly in December or January, but at this point, we're just going with what we know for sure. Along with local taxes, we have public utility taxes, and this is money that the railroad owns, or the property that the railroad owns, Ohio Edison owns, and the Nexus Pipeline owns some property in our district. It's taxed a little bit differently, but that comes to us also, and we're estimating that at $1.2 million. Also, local taxes is income tax. The district has a 0.5% earned income tax. We're estimating that we'll receive $2.1 million from that this year. And we're increasing not the tax to go up, but the income from the tax to go up about 4.2% over the next 4 years. The next major area of funding we have is state funding, the orange down there. That equates to about 48% of what the district receives, or $12.9 million, almost $13 million. The largest portion of that comes from the Fair School Funding Formula. And this is a formula that calculates what it costs to educate a student in the district, and then it looks at what the district's ability to pay for the student is, and that's based on property values and based on income levels in the district. Currently, our state shares 50%, so they expect the district, the people in the district, to pay 50% of the cost of education, and that the state will pay 50% of the cost of that education. And then there's restricted state funding at $1,020,000, and that comes to us for specific purposes and can only be used for that. Career tech is an example, preschool, transportation, disadvantaged youth, or gifted students. So they give us money for that, and that's all we can spend it on. And then also under state funding is the state share of local taxes. There's a thing called homestead and rollback payments that you don't have to pay those. Those people that own homes and live in those homes, they don't have to pay a percentage of their taxes. Or homes owned by elderly or disabled, they don't have to pay their full property taxes. The state will pay that share of the property taxes to the district. That's considered local income also. And then we have other income. It equates for 9% of our, did that change colors?
Yeah. It might just be the cable or something, the connection.
I don't know, I'm sorry, I changed screens. All of a sudden it was like a different color. Anyways, back to the revenues. It was 9% of our income. That's rentals, pay to participate, interest payments that we receive, payments from Medicaid, that some of our students qualify for Medicaid so we can bill Medicaid for them. And then excess cost, that's money that we receive from other districts for their special needs students that are educated here. Now we'll move on to expenditures. We're estimating $25.8 million in expenditures. Again, kindergartners, that's a lot of money. 81% of that is budgeted for personnel costs. $15,064,000 of that is for salaries. And we've talked about it over the years. The district received $2.6 million in ESSER funding from the federal government, and that money was used to offset personnel costs. But that money will go away at the end of this year, so that will come back in our year. It's not in this year's numbers, but when we move to fiscal year 25, all that money will be included in that year. And then along with the personnel, part of that is the benefits that go along with salaries. We're estimating those to be $5.9 million. The largest cost of that is healthcare. This year, our healthcare costs rose 4.1%, but we're being told, due to the increase in healthcare costs, I think everybody sees costs going up everywhere, to anticipate a 10% increase moving forward. So we have that forecast for the next 4 years. And again, we used ESSER funds best we could to offset that, but those go away at the end of this year. 14% of our budget is set aside for purchase services. That's utilities, gas, electric, internet. We have huge internet bills for the district here. Repairs, maintenance, legal fees. We pay for some students to attend schools elsewhere if that's in their best interest. We have OT, PT, nursing, so that all falls under purchase services. That's about $3.5 million this year. And then we have all other expenses, which equates about 5% or $1.3 million. That is supplies, equipment, fees, and those are like tangible things, the supplies we have in the classrooms, the equipment that we have to purchase. The district used permanent improvement funds to pay for textbooks as much as we can. However, with our one-to-one district initiative with the Chromebooks, the digital portion of the textbooks has to be paid for out of general fund. We can't use our permanent improvement fund for that because it's not a tangible item. It's, I don't know what it is, it's not tangible. So we can't use PI to pay for that. So that's also in these numbers here. So all of that being said, this moves us forward, and I took all the little lines out, and we're just looking at revenues and expenditures. So in fiscal year 24, we begin with the 4.4, and we end with 5.4, so that year looks good. And moving forward each year, you see our carryover balance at the end, add to that what our revenues are, subtract our expenditures, you get what our bottom line is. So we start fiscal year 28, 5 years out, we're looking at $1.3 million in the red, which is a huge number to look at in the red, but as I said before, we have a two-year state budget. Things changed. Things changed a lot for us from May to November because it was a new budget this year. We don't panic, but we just want to keep our eye on that corner. And then the numbers I have highlighted, those are considered deficit spending. That means we're spending more than what we're bringing in, but we have enough carryover balance that gets us through. And again, like I said, this is as of today. Things can change next week. Things can change tomorrow to our either deficit or to our benefit. So it's a moving target, but it moves as we go and as we get new information. But as of today, that's where we're at. And just a quick thing that's interesting, the cost for Norton to educate a student is $70 per day. So out of all those expenditures and the students that we have here, you can't see that number probably very well, it's $70. And out of that $70, well, this changed everything on your computer, Terry. I don't know what happened here. Even my percentages are different. 34% of that $70 comes from the residents in the district, either their property taxes that they pay or their income tax. And the rest of it, the other 67%, comes from state, federal, or business taxes. So thank you those in the room who pay your taxes and own a home here and pay it to the schools because you're contributing to those kids every day. And if, as I said, if anybody has any questions or you would like more detail, I can go into this like crazy, and I enjoy it, and I know not everybody else does. So please feel free to call me at any time. I'd love to sit down with you and go through it in more detail. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
She's going to do this now, too.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So one of the things we're required to do by, it just came out with the state budget and it's House Bill 33. I know these are more members of the So House Bill 33 says that you have to attend a meeting and tell them what you're using your health and wellness money on. The state provides us with health and wellness stuff. And what we have to do is come to the community and tell you what we're spending that money that the state gives us. So that's what Mrs. Horton is doing. She is our student service director. So she's only got four slides. This will be great.
I promise. So Governor DeWine gave $675 million to schools across the state. And the thing it said was that those student wellness and success funds were to be used to help remove barriers for students in regards to things that might impact their learning. And so the recent updates that have been put into place in shared districts are prioritizing students' physical and mental health needs through different partnerships. So at Norton City Schools, the requirements for these funds were four things. 50% of those student wellness and success funds have to be spent on physical or mental health services. We have to share this information like we're doing tonight, and this information will also be added to the website. We have to report annually. That's what Stephanie gets to do, to the state on how we actually spend those funds, and then we must spend those funds annually. They will not be given back to us if we don't. So at Northern City Schools, we broke it up into two components. Our first component is mental health services. So two strategies that we're using with our funds is we actually hired an additional school counselor who's working at NES and MPS this year. That counselor is helping to provide those small groups to different student needs, providing those resources to families. Oftentimes our school counselors are on the front line for helping support our families when they call because there's a change in family status, a change in housing, a change in their needs. They're typically reaching out to those school counselors first and then always supporting those students in crisis as needed. The second strategy that we're using is we're contracted with Red Oak Behavioral Health. Red Oak has been with the district for a few years now. They provide supports for coping and self-regulation strategies for our students that need it, health and wellness coordinator at the high school, as well as intervention services for our underinsured students. The second component that we're using the funds for is our physical health services. So right now we have nursing services in every single building. We contract through PSI Solutions to provide those school-based health members. Those help with student injuries and illness management. They're helping with health record management. As your parents know, you have to get your immunization records in, things like that. Those nurses are checking for all those records, reaching out to families, helping them get into touch with different providers who can get them those immunizations if they need them. They're helping to manage our students who have chronic health problems, our diabetics, our students with seizure disorders, allergies, et cetera, as well as providing required hearing and vision screening. And then they're also administering our meds to our students that need those daily meds. That's all I have. Thank you.
And all of that money is in the money that we talked about.
Right, when she said services, that's what it was.
Thanks, Terry. The only other thing that I have is another requirement that we have is we have to talk about nutrition standards every year. We have to talk about it in this meeting, and it's posted in all of our buildings. But basically what it is we have nutrition standards that are governing the types of food and beverages available for sale on the premises of our schools. They're posted. So if anybody is ever curious about how many calories or what something is or why are you serving this, if you contact Judy Johnson, who runs our food services, she can better explain that information. But I have to tell you that it's posted. So it's just we're checking some boxes today. So thank you very much.
Item C.
Brett Tomic. He is. This is just kind of for board information. We contract with NeoNet. NeoNet provides. Angie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. They provide us a lot of our internet services and a lot of our backdoor services that help keep all of our information. We contract with NeoNet. We are hiring a new person through NeoNet. Angie was able to sit on the interviews and hire the person that best suits Norton. But they will work through that contract and they will pay him.
Yeah, he does desktop support and he mostly does all the Chromebook repair process for grades 4 through 12 that are one-to-one. He's currently working at Geek Squad and he was a Norton graduate. So, but he's replacing the person that we did have. So this is the gentleman left to take another position. So Brett is taking that spot.
Thank you.
We don't approve it, but I thought it would be nice if you knew we were bringing a Norton person back in the fold.
All right, now we're going to move on to item 5, student recognition, the reason most of you are here tonight. So
we'll start with student of the month. We will start with Mr. Shaner. He will bring excitement to this thing. So if you would like to call your student of the month.
So at the high school every month, we have two students of the month. We have our regular student of the month, and we also have a career tech student of the month. There's a big gap between us that feels awkward. So who I have with us is, this is senior Elliot Clarkson. She is our regular November student of the month, and then we have senior Dee Otto, who is our career tech student of the month. And I'm going to start with Dee, if I could, so I'm going to step in between. Dee is actually in the culinary program up at Copley High School. So for those of you that aren't familiar with the Career Tech programs and the Compact, We do have students that spend half of their day with us, and they spend half of their day at Copley, Wadsworth, or Barberton, and then vice versa. We have some of the students from those schools come to our school for various programs. This is the second time in 3 months that our Student of the Month in Career Tech is actually coming from the culinary program up at Copley. And so if you've never been there, they run a restaurant out of Copley High School. It's called Bistro 81. It's always called the Bistro. But I've been there several times. It's very good. You can go eat there just like a normal restaurant. The students make all the food. They do everything because you guys do restaurant management too. So, they serve you. They wait on you. They do everything. Bring you the bill. Right, that's the fun part, and so if you ever get a chance, you should really check it out. Dee, of course, is an important part of that process, and so not only is she in the program, but the job that she works is, I was surprised to hear this, she actually works at the Champions Club, the Rubber Ducks, and I'm a frequent spectator at Rubber Ducks events, but I had no idea. I'm not VIP though, so you've never probably actually made food for me. I can't. Not part of the Champions Club, I guess. But so that was really cool. But I did ask Dee to just say a few words just about the program and what it's meant to her over after being in it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, this compact completely like changed my whole view on school. I really did struggle for like a long time with pretty much everything school-wise. I wasn't the greatest student or whatever, and then getting this compact just did a 360 for me totally. I'm exceeding way more, just not even in school, but outside with just getting basic things done that I struggled with a lot before. And I think it really does boil down to getting in the compact, getting my hands-on experience. It really changed a lot for me. It's great.
Job. Nice job. I do want to say, I don't care what she says about being a student, she's still better than her brother, right? That on camera, Mom. There you go. So no matter what. So anyway, so Dee plans on going to the University of Akron and study food product management. So obviously we wish her the best of luck. Make sure so here's this and congratulations. Okay, stay here with me for just a second. And then we're gonna come over here to Elliot Clarkson. So Elliot, she's a member of the track and field team. She is in a lot of AP classes, dual enrollment classes, Spanish 4 as well. So she takes some high level classes, but what's really great about Elliot is she is the lieutenant governor for Key Club, so you actually oversee the Key Club for about 20 different schools. So if you're not familiar with Key Club, it's a service-oriented club at the school. They do a lot of service-oriented projects, both in the community as well as in the school. So I did ask Elliot to say just a few things this morning, or this evening, about what are some of her responsibilities as the lieutenant governor there.
Yeah, so I am the lieutenant governor of Ohio Division 16 East and West, which is basically spanning from Medina to Wooster and out into Akron. I lead over 400 students in their volunteer journeys, and I was actually sent on an international convention to California over the summer to meet with Key Club. There are 700 students from all over the world. It was really great, and I learned a lot there that I was able to bring back into our community. We have been doing a lot of collaborative events. Social media has been really good. Membership has grown in all clubs. One of the biggest things that I'm currently focusing on this year, because the term lasts throughout the school year, is raising money for the Thirst Project, which is a project ending the world's water crisis, and I've been running it for about 10 weeks now, and our goal is $12,000 to support a well, and we've already hit $3,000, and that's being run through all of our schools. We have a lot of schools doing cash donations and concerts and raffles, so it's a really great cause, and it's opened my horizons a lot of what I want to do in the future, which is a lot of humanitarian philanthropic work. So I'm looking to go into that in college and then in the future.
Clearly, I didn't even need to show up tonight. Just go and talk about it. So obviously, Elliot is a service-oriented person. I know that we've talked about your future and what you plan on doing as well. You say you want to go to probably an out-of-state college, study psychology and linguistics, but obviously use that to propel herself into the service, some sort of service-oriented industry. So once again, great job explaining everything to everybody too. And that position that she's in is one that she's voted into. So she earned that from her peers. So congratulations as well.
Thank you,
Dee, as well. So thank you both of you. All right.
All right, Mrs. Snowden, you're up. as she comes up, just so everybody knows, nobody likes to follow Mr. Shaner after he does his song and dance. It's very hard to do that. So whoever angers me the most leading up to this has to go. So Mrs. Snowden, you're on.
Good luck, Trisha.
This is Sarah Watson. Sarah, I know you were in fifth grade. She was a fifth grader when I started here at Wharton, so we are together in this new thing called the school. And Sarah's just one of those kids that is super sweet, but also like has this fun side that we all really enjoy. She's in drama club, choir, yearbook, and the history one. And Builders Club, because she's in all the things. So name a thing, Sarah's in it. And also, one thing I just got to mention, Sarah's dad gets a little bit of a shout out because I can remember being in here and Sarah's dad would brush her off at middle school, which is a place that you don't like to be embarrassed. And he would roll down the car window every morning, I love you, Sarah!
Oh my gosh!
I was like, that is who I want to be.
My gosh.
And also, Mr. Reimer, the seventh grade team was all really unanimous that Sarah was their choice for this meeting. And so I'm going to give Mr. Reimer the opportunity to talk as
and
well.
And you took all my points.
But you didn't know about Dad. That's
I didn't know about that.
That's
true. So it was earlier in the year, they were like, hey, seventh grade, we've got to come up with a new person. We're like, okay. And so Sarah stood out really quickly because she does have that spunky thing. She's very pleasant, smiling, but she brings something to the class, you know, sometimes challenges you a little bit and stuff like that in good ways. But she just has an energy that she brings when she goes to the groups, when she does different things. And so that kind of stood her out from all the rest of the students.
Awesome. Congratulations, Sarah.
All right, Mr. Sackett, you're up.
Never know which way to turn.
No.
All right, we are proud to represent our student of the month, Jackson Walter. Here with us is his second grade teacher, Mrs. Mitchell. Jackson's, he's my guy. So, you know, last year, first grader, just stands out right away. I can see him at a car rider line or in the morning and afternoon. That's someone you love to see every day. First of all, he's here every day, very pleasant, but he's also quarterback of the football team, plays basketball and baseball, soccer, recess, always doing something athletic. Super nice guy all around. Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, I'm really proud of you, man. And it's just a simple thing. It's like, you show up every day, you talk to me. I follow your success, Mr. Fargo, last year, now with Mrs. Mitchell. I mean, he could be student of the month every year. You know, we'll try to watch that you don't get, you know, too big of a head, but we'll follow her every year. Mrs. Mitchell, tell us more about him in class.
I told Jackson the other day, I said, you know that you are probably one of the best students I've ever had. And I mean that. And this is what my 16th year teaching here. And he is, I talk about him to all my teacher friends. I talk about him outside of work. I use him as a leader at home, even for my kids at home. Right away, he stood out. I told you, you came in here like, how's your group this year? And I was like, Jackson Walter. And he's like, I love that kid. Yeah, me too. He's just all around wonderful kid, makes great choices, hard worker. He's empathetic. If someone is hurt or not feeling well, they're upset. He is worried for them. He wants to make sure they're okay. He checks on them. He's the one that brings down the book bag and the planner to the office if they're sick. He's the one they ask to do that. When the nurse calls up, they're like, they want Jackson. Can Jackson grab their things? They're not feeling well. He makes sure that, you know, if he sees I'm stressed or if we're having a day in class, that, you know, he wants to make sure, you know, I hope you have a good night tonight, Mrs. Mitchell. I hope conferences go well. I hope you're not there too late.
You know, that's so sweet.
He's really mature. There were times that some kids in the class can act a little crazy and we'll both slip each other. So he's just a really wonderful kid. I love having him. When I told the other second grade teachers, like, I have a student of the month, they're like, Jackson, because I talk about him all the time. And Mrs. Varga, his first grade teacher, came to me and she said, you know, because we always try to look and make sure like that he wasn't picked the year before. So we were like, all right, he wasn't picked in first grade. So I'm like, all right, good, I can have him. And then Mrs. Varga comes to me and she says, you got Jackson. She's like, I wanted to pick him for first grade. She's like, but I looked and he was in kindergarten. So that could be 3 years in a row, Jackson. That's pretty amazing.
I'm sure you guys know how special he is. You send him to us at school, and we appreciate it. Congratulations. Yep.
All right, Mr. Morris, it's all you.
I have the pleasure to introduce to you Lucy Kirkendall and her classroom teacher, Mrs. Addis. You know, the beginning of the year, it's a very nervous time for kids that have just transitioned into our building. Lucy was one of those nervous ones coming into the building this year. You know, I knew Lucy when she went to our community preschool, and she was one of our friends that came over to our program, and we knew that she was going to do great. We just knew that there might be some nerves at the beginning of the school year. So, you know, to help get over those nerves, I think I want to thank Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa for you guys helping us, getting us through the summer events, and then leading up to a great school year. Still a little shy, but I will tell you she's been a tremendous person that has grown over the last couple months, and has a true friend for many in kindergarten this year. So Mrs. Addis, the floor is yours.
I would say a good citizen does the right thing even when nobody's watching, and that explains Lucy. It's like you'll just out of the side of your eye, you see her, you know, over there giving someone a pat on the back that's not having a good day, or picking up crayons that are all over the floor for the 10th time. You know, she's always right there helping out. She's really kind and she's respectful. And even though others may not do the same, she's always showing kindness to them. And she's a good positive role model and influence for them. They all love Lucy.
Okay, we're going to take a break now to congratulate the students of the month, but first we'd like to get all of them over here for a photo, and then we have a sign for everyone to put in your yard. So, thank you. Moving on to item 6, is there any public participation? Okay. Item 7, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 8, board business, can I have motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, between Norton City Schools and NCTA for changing mock trial advisor to forensic assistant attachment B?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yeah.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Under letter B, can I have a motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, between Norton City Schools and OPSI Local 167 for driver assignment for extra trips, attachment C?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter C, can I have a motion to approve the endorsement of the following booster clubs, items 1 through 3?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
So the reason these are on here, and we talked about this last year, so if sometimes you'll get people that will show up on your doorstep and say they're collecting money for the school district or whatever it is. If it isn't a booster affiliated organization, these are the only three that we work with that are outside. Now, you might have a kid who's in the elementary school that's selling butter braids, right? But these are the only organizations that can collect money that are knowing of.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter D, can I have a motion to approve the following policies, items 1 through 7?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Yeah.
The only thing on here that is kind of a little bit out of the norm is number 7, which is our overdose reversal drugs. Basically what that is Narcan. We've been working with our district nurse who is working with the doctor that we will have Narcan. We do not pay for that. It will be in all of our buildings and available. If something does happen to someone, whether it be a visitor to our building or a student in our building, we have nurses that are always there that will administer it, but it is also there for after hours, say if there's an athletic event or something going on. Staff have been notified and trained on how to administer, but for the most part, it will be our nurses, just like Terry discussed earlier, who would administer that. But it's a nice thing to have. It's hopefully you never have to use it, but it's there if we need it.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 9, can I have a motion to approve minutes, letters A and B?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 10, treasurer's recommendations, can I have a motion to approve letters A through D?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
No. Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Under item 11, superintendent's recommendations, can I have a motion to approve letter A, approve personnel retirement, resignation, leave, items 1 through 7?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter B, can I have a motion to approve personnel termination due to licensure, items 1 through 3?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve letters C and D?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter E, can I have a motion to approve personnel classified pending background check and permit, items 1 through 3?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
We are almost there. Can I have a motion to approve letters F through L?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Under consent agenda items, can I have a motion to approve letters M through P?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
The only thing I do want to say is I want to thank the Norton Boys Basketball Association for their donation of basketball hoops here in this gym at the middle school. What it is in the past, if you've ever been here to visit, they would hang them on the basketball hoops and they were a little rickety at times. They actually donated enough money that we can actually put a system in place that you can move those hoops up and down for the benefit of our smaller hoopsters. So thanks very much to them for doing that.
Those are actually a lot of really nice donations,
yes.
Especially the one from Norton Youth Wrestling. Approximate value is $4,000.
Yeah.
So, no, that's very nice. And the donation from Norton High School Class of 1973 Reunion Committee. And then the art donation from Mr. Daniel Waugh and Ms. Denise Waugh. So, very appreciated. Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 12, can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss employment of personnel and the sale purchase of property?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries 5-0. We are now in executive session. Thank you all for coming and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Okay, the time is 8:52. We are now out of executive session. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll. Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Ms. Stats?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett? Yes. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.